My name is Jen. I'm in my 40s, and me and my friend run a business via Airbnb here in the UK. We own a few different properties across London, and while my friend acts as the financial backing, I run the day-to-day business of dealing with repairs and quest queries, as well as inspecting the rentals both before the guests arrive and after they check out. As you can imagine, summertime is our busiest period of the year, with business picking up a lot around Christmas too. But then we always have this really quiet period around the autumn where we struggle to break even, and it really puts a dent in our annual profits. So imagine our joy when last year, we got a 3-week long booking for one of our swankier properties in North London. It was a huge payday for us, even with the block discount that Airbnb mandates, and we tried to be as welcoming and accommodating as possible to increase the chance of repeat business. For those of you that have used Airbnb before, you'll know that the vast majority of rentals are completely non-contact, and that style of rental only increased over the course of the pandemic. That means that we didn't meet our renters even once, and throughout the whole of their 3-week stay, we didn't receive a single call from them. The only thing we knew is that one of the two guests was a girl named Alice. Alice paid the deposit, the rental fee, everything. So about halfway through the stay, I dropped Alice a text to ask if everything was going okay. The reply said nothing other than, like, fine, thanks, so we assumed their stay was going wonderfully. I certainly wasn't complaining that they were low-maintenance guests, because as much as I don't mind helping out where and when I'm needed, there's nothing worse than a guest who keeps calling you up every 5 minutes, asking where things are, claiming that things are broken when they're not. When their 3 weeks were over, I made my way over to the flat to make sure everything was in order. I wasn't expecting anything to be rough, maybe a few towels left on the floor, maybe a full bin bag, the usual stuff that people leave behind when they're in a hurry to leave. We'd had someone really make a mess of one of the flats before after having an all-night party there, so I was always ready to be greeted by an absolute horror show. But nothing could have prepared me for what I found in that flat that day. I knew something was wrong almost immediately after trying to get into the flat, as there seemed to be something blocking the door from the other side. It took me a good few shoves to get in, then I saw that someone had piled some chairs up against the door as a means of slowing down entry, but not completely barring access. I also noticed how cold it was, which was the first hint that I got that someone had left one of the windows open, something we specifically asked guests not to do since the area had something of a pigeon problem. I rather quickly deduced that whoever tried to bar the door had done so than used a window to actually leave the flat. By why ever in God's name they'd want to do that was a complete mystery to me, at least for the next few minutes anyway. I walked into the living room to shut the window, and I could tell that it was the living room because of the cold breeze coming from it, and that's when I saw the mess they'd made. But unlike the mess the partiers leave behind, which tended to be loads of empty bottles and cans, cigarette butts, that sort of thing, the place looked like there had been some kind of fight. Loads of glasses and plates were smashed, the chairs were gone, the tables were overturned. It was a complete mess. The next place I checked was the bedroom, deciding to leave the bathroom till last because I was honestly dreading whatever had been left in there, and seeing the state the bedroom had been left in just made me dread it even more. There were all kinds of empty condom wrappers all over the bedroom, as well as all kinds of adult toys strewn around the room. The sheets had stains on them, and God knows what they'd come from, but the whole room just reeked of you know what. It was disgusting. Finally, I braced myself to check the bathroom to see what kind of mess had been left behind, expecting something god-awful that I'd probably have to spend the rest of the morning cleaning. But then, like I said, I could never have been ready for what was behind that door. I pushed open the bathroom door, took a peek inside, then immediately slammed it closed after seeing something lying in the bath. Something person-shaped. I say person-shaped because just from the split second I saw it, it didn't actually look like a person, not a living one anyway. It was all lumpy and covered in gore, almost like it was just pieces of fresh meat butchered and piled on top of one another, I think I was just in denial about what I saw at first. I mean, I didn't want it to be what it was. So in those few moments, I tried to think of everything it could have been instead of what it actually was. I don't know what actually drove me to open the door again. I certainly didn't want to, if that makes any sense. I think I'd actually managed to convince myself that what I'd seen wasn't real, that I'd just assumed the worst after seeing the rest of the flat, and that it just wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Only, it was as bad as I thought it was. If anything, it was worse. It was a body, and it was just lying there in the bath in probably the worst condition you can possibly imagine. Partly the reason why I didn't recognize it as one immediately is because the girl's face was so beaten up that she didn't even look human anymore. There wasn't a single patch of skin that didn't have blood drying on it, but it wasn't that brown-looking blood that had clotted. It actually still looked kind of fresh, like it had only been there for a few hours at the most. I immediately pulled my phone out, dialing 999 to tell them that I needed the police as quickly as they could get there. The girl, who I assume was the girl who'd rented from us, was just laying there, perfectly still, and I couldn't hear her breathing or anything, so I just assumed that she was dead. I even told the bloke on the other end of the line that I was almost certain she was dead, and that's when he asked me to check her pulse to make sure. I did as he asked, 100% certain that I wouldn't feel a thing because in my mind, no one on earth could survive the kind of violence that she'd been put through. I don't even think I was touching the right spot in her neck at first, because again, I couldn't feel a thing, and after racking my brain for a minute, trying to remember the girl's name, I think I just blanked because of the panic. I just said, "Alice?" And then, she opened her eyes. Having that happen, like she'd properly come back from the dead or something, was the single most terrifying moment of my life. It was absolutely horrendous. They were all bloodshot too, and one of them had absolutely no white in the eye whatsoever. It was just a bright red mess of broken blood vessels. Then, as soon as she laid eyes on me, she started screaming and lashing out, terrifying me so much as I just ran out of the flat and into the corridor outside while shouting that, "She's alive! She's alive!" down the phone. I remember the guy on the other end of the phone telling me to go and unlock the front door to the flat building, since it was an old-style place with a door you could leave on the latch. After that, I had to run back upstairs to make sure the girl didn't let herself out of the flat, as she had obviously just launched into fight or flight mode after waking up and thinking that she was still in danger. When I got upstairs, the girl was half naked, just slouched in the hallway outside the flat, and she was crying her eyes out. I told her to stay put and that the ambulance was on the way. Then all she did was cry those choked sobs while her tears cleared the blood from her face. And that's another image I'll never get out of my head, how her tears actually seemed to clean the blood from the parts of her deformed face they'd touched. When the paramedics arrived, I found out that the only reason she hadn't actually run off after waking up screaming was because she literally couldn't. I don't know what kind of damage had been done to her legs, but the paramedics had to bring in a stretcher up to the hallway to actually get her down into the ambulance. After she was taken to the hospital, a second set of policemen, the first went with her to the hospital, asked me to stay out of the flat on behalf of a forensics team which were on their way down. Then they proceeded to ask me a load of questions regarding exactly what I'd seen and what I knew about the people renting. Obviously, I knew next to nothing other than her name and the amount of time that she'd been staying for, but I answered their questions as best they could. They also promised to keep me in the loop regarding certain details of the investigation so I could pass on the details to our insurance company for the eventual claim we were going to file with them. About a week or so later, I got a call from an officer, and while he didn't tell me exactly what had happened, he told me everything he was permitted to tell me. Basically, the two girls who rented the flat were call girls who'd come down from the north to use the place as a kind of base of operations for 3 weeks because they could basically charge more for their services in London than they could up north. At least, that was their logic. Apparently, their little idea had worked really well, and they'd had a profitable, relatively trouble-free few weeks. But then, on the night before they'd been due to check out, some local gangsters had gotten wind of their little operation and didn't take kindly to them operating in their area. Apparently these girls were charging quite a bit of money, but it was still lower than the rate that these gangsters had agreed upon for all their girls. So, they hatched a little plan. They would raid the flat the girls were staying in, scare them enough that they'd leave the area, and take any money they'd made in the process. But the thing was, the girls didn't keep much money in the flat with them, and were taking the cash to a friend of theirs who just so happened to live in London too. That's how only one girl ended up getting left in the bath. She ended up being the only one they beat the crap out of and torturing as a means of scaring the other girl, who they forced out of the window before making her lead them to where they'd stashed all their money. And that was all I was told. And as much as the officer hinted that they got a few blokes in custody, he obviously couldn't tell me who they were or who they were affiliated with. And that's all the info I got too, as the police didn't get back in touch aside to tell us that we were free to use the apartment again, and I was more focused on the insurance claim than anything else after that. That was the single worst incident in the history of our little Airbnb business, and probably one of the worst things I'd ever come across in my entire life. Okay, so a few years back, me and my girlfriend decided to get out of the city for a few days by renting an Airbnb. We spent a while looking at a bunch of different places, then finally settled in this place on a farm about 2 hours' drive outside of the city. It was this little guest house on a farm, just across from the main house where the owners must have lived. We talked a little via email after actually paying for the place. Just little things like if we wanted some wine or some coffee left for our arrival. They were really friendly like that. Then just a few days before we were due to drive out there, they suddenly stopped replying to our emails. It was a little worrying, but not hugely so. I mean, we paid our fees and stuff, so we were definitely entitled to rent the little guest house for the week that we paid for. Besides, we figured that they were just busy or something and would get back to us as soon as they could. They told us in one email that the keys to the place would be in a lockbox that was attached to the place's porch, and that they'd email us the code on either the day before we arrived or the day of our arrival for security reasons. But then, like I said, they seemed to just go totally dark just a few days before, and they ended up not emailing us any kind of code. We were kind of annoyed, as anyone might be, and as we'd already paid our money and all that. I know we probably should have just canceled the trip and got a refund from Airbnb, but we really liked the idea of staying out on this farm place, as it would make the perfect little break from our busy urban lives. So we decided to just roll the dice, drive out there, and get the code to the lockbox by knocking at the actual farmhouse instead of relying on email and stuff. The place was relatively easy to find, and both the farmhouse and the little guest house looked awesome. There was just one problem. The door to the main house was wide open, and there was a trail of clothes and household items leading up to a spot that looked like a truck or car had once sat. As you can guess, we could instantly tell that something wasn't right, as it looked like whoever had lived there had left in a hurry for some reason. Just to be sure, we walked up to the door, knocked on it, even thought it was open and called out, "Hello?" and stuff like that. We didn't get any reply, so there was definitely no one home, and we didn't actually have any of their numbers, so there was no getting in touch with them to find out where they'd gone or when they'd be back. Not that we actually thought that they were coming back anytime soon. The trail of stuff gave us a pretty good idea that no one would want to be returning at all. And the only real questions we were faced with was, why the hell did the family leave in such a hurry? And what exactly scared them so bad that they'd want to leave so fast? We didn't exactly stick around for very long. The bad vibes were seriously heavy in the air, and my girlfriend was begging me to get us out of there from almost the moment we got out of the car. But in the time we were there, we didn't see any blood or anything like that. No bullet holes either. Nothing to indicate what had happened to make people want to run away. We made sure to call the cops on the way back into the city just to let them know that something had happened if they didn't know already. Getting our money back from Airbnb was actually much easier than we figured, too. I guess they couldn't get in touch with the family either, and since it was still the day that we were due to check in, the money was still in digital limbo or whatever system they used to get us the money pretty quickly. I always wondered about what happened to the family, though. We didn't end up getting any real answers about it, other than the fact that we got our money back pretty quickly, which I'm guessing meant that they didn't contest the refund with Airbnb. We've rented Airbnb since then too, with none of that same creepiness being repeated. So while I'd definitely recommend using the company, I suppose you just don't know what you're walking into until you're actually there.
When I turned 26, my friends and I decided to rent a small lakeside cabin that we found on Airbnb to have some fun on the lake for my birthday. It was a really cool idea, and I'll never forget my friends for being kind enough to do that for me. I mean, it wasn't the best birthday I ever had, but they couldn't have accounted for what was going to happen. You see, we got to the cabin on Thursday at around 4 p.m., so there was still enough time to swim for a bit before it got dark. As soon as we realized that, we all just ran inside, tossed our stuff on the beds, and then got ready to hit the lake. We swam for about an hour before deciding to call it a night and relax with some food and a fire. I brought my guitar, and we all had a good time before we ended up getting tired. But eventually, it was time to put out the fire and go to bed. We all went inside and hung out for another couple of minutes before splitting into the two rooms and hitting the hay. The bed wasn't too comfortable, but after swimming and eating way too much junk, I ended up passing out without any problems. Now normally, I'm a really heavy sleeper. The only thing that wakes me up is when something makes me move or touches my face. And I remember being woken up by the feeling of something tickling my nose, which caused me to swat whatever it was away and roll over to my side, which was when I heard a strange, whispering sort of noise. I couldn't tell what it was, but I was far too tired. So assuming it was just my buddies messing with me, I said, "Cut it out, I'm trying to sleep." That was when I heard the noise again. So this time I sat up and turned to yell at the guys who I thought were messing with me. But to my surprise, no one was there. And Kyle, my friend who I was sharing the room with, he was still knocked out. I shook my head and figured that I must have felt a fly or something land on my face before deciding to lie back down. As I closed my eyes, I could tell that I was going to be asleep in no time. But before I could get there, the noise was back. I couldn't make it out, but I swear it was like a whisper or someone snickering. Only this time, the sound was coming from the foot of my bed. I wasn't messing around anymore. And this time I sprang from my bed ready to confront whoever was messing with me. But again, there was nothing there. But as I looked back toward the bed, I realized what I had been hearing. It wasn't whispering at all. Instead, it was the quiet hissing of a snake that had somehow made its way into my bed. I freaked out and woke up Kyle, who responded the same. We woke up the other two guys who were with us to check the whole cabin to see if there were any other animal intruders, as we also figured out how to remove the snake from my bed. None of us could tell if it was venomous or not, but eventually, we figured out how to get it into a pillowcase and brought it out of the woods before letting it go. I didn't get any sleep the entire 3 days that we were at the cabin. There was no way, not after a snake woke me up by touching my face. It's definitely a birthday I'll never forget. In the summer of 2014, my wife Joanne, who at the time was just my fiance, and I went on a cross-country trip for the summer with the hopes of hitting all of the biggest sights along the way. From the Grand Canyon to see the giant redwoods in Grizzly State Park, where they shot the Force Moon of Endor scenes from Star Wars. It was a really great trip, despite a few hiccups, and we learned a lot of really good lessons along the way. The biggest of which might have been to stick with hotels because Airbnbs cannot be trusted. We were passing through Montana, and on Airbnb, we found a nice looking house to stay in that wasn't too expensive and didn't seem to have any neighbors aside from the owner of the house who lived on his own home right next door. When we got there, the house looked really nice. The interior was really simple and it only had one bedroom, a living room, a bathroom, and a kitchen, so it wasn't too big. It was perfect for just the two of us, especially since we only planned on staying for one night. After getting settled in, my fiancé and I decided to get ourselves cleaned up, and as a way to save some water, we both decided to hop in the shower together. Now, before getting in, both of us put our bags on the bed in the bedroom, but if I remember right, neither of us had removed any of our belongings, aside from the clothes that we were going to change into. Then we both went into the bathroom at the same time and didn't get out until we were finished getting cleaned up. But when we got out of the bathroom and went into the bedroom, I noticed that there were more of the clothes on the bed than we left out. That means that someone was going through our stuff while we were in the bathroom. I tried to shake the thought out of my head and told myself that Joanne must have just been looking for something and I just wasn't remembering right. After getting dressed, the two of us were feeling hungry and decided to go out for some dinner at a local diner, which ended up being really pleasant. That would be the last nice feeling that we would have that night. After returning to the house that we had rented for the night, Joanne made her way up to the door and then inside as I grabbed the leftovers from the car and locked it up. But before I could finish locking the door, I heard her let out a loud scream. I ran into the house as fast as I could and saw Joanne pointing toward the bedroom. I asked her what happened, and she said that when she walked into the house, she heard something slam closed in the bedroom. Making my way over to the bedroom door, I very cautiously stuck my head in, but I didn't see anything. I looked over to the closet. The door was still open as we left it, and there was no one in the room as far as I could see. I walked over to the bed and checked underneath, but there was nothing. I tried to convince Joanne that the pressure change from the door opening and closing probably shut one of the cabinets in the kitchen or something. And eventually, we were able to calm ourselves down and get some sleep. I wish I had listened to her more, though. Later that night, I woke up to use the bathroom, and as I was making my way back into the bed, I heard what sounded to me like heavy breathing. I looked over to Joanne, but it wasn't coming from that direction. It sounded like it was coming from the wall. I slowly made my way over to the wall near the nightstand beside our bed, and as I went to place my ear against it, I could hear the sound of something scampering away, followed by the sound of something closing shut. I ran over to the window to look outside, and I saw someone running across the yard toward the owner's house. I woke Joanne up, and we called the cops. We turned on the lights and we made sure all of the windows and doors were locked. After taking a closer look at the wall, I noticed a small seam that ran down the wall and was hidden right behind the nightstand. And after the police arrived, they checked it out and found a small cubby-like room that led to a small hatch on the back of the house. The police went up to the owner's house to question him about it, but they apparently couldn't find him, and according to them, even if the owner was hiding in the wall, it was his property, so it technically wasn't illegal. Joanne and I decided to book a room at the nearby hotel that had a vacancy and moved our stuff over there before deciding to never use Airbnb again. Sometimes the creepiest people live less than an hour away from you, and you wouldn't even know it unless you happened to interact with them. I learned this lesson when my house became infested with bedbugs after my cousin visited and we had to get it fumigated. This meant that we all had to stay away from the house for 3 full days before it was safe for us to go back inside. So to make the best of a bad situation, my mom and dad decided to rent a nice looking Airbnb that was just outside the city. It was supposed to be really exciting because I had never left the confines of New York City until then. So as a 13-year-old, I was pretty hyped, but things didn't exactly turn out as great as I hoped. When we pulled up to the house, it all looked great. They had a fenced-in yard and a long driveway with a basketball hoop and a ball for us to play with, and there was even a big motion sensor light in case we wanted to play outside after dark. My parents and I rushed into the house and began checking it out before ultimately getting settled in. Once we got comfortable, we ate some dinner and decided to go for a short walk afterwards to check out the area before it got too dark. The little neighborhood that the house was in looked nice. There was a few houses on the street and they all looked similar. The trees that lined the road were really nice, and the fact that I could actually hear some insects was astounding to me compared to the rush of the city. But on our way back to the house, things got a little odd when we noticed that someone was standing at the end of their driveway, just staring at the house. As we got closer, my dad said hello and introduced himself by letting the man know that we were staying there for a few days, but the man didn't respond. Instead, he just looked at my dad and then at my mom and me before turning around and walking down the street away from us. It was one of the weirdest things I had experienced up until that point in my life. The three of us made our way into the house quickly and double locked the door behind us before sitting down and finding a movie to watch. And after a while, it was time to go to bed, and we were all feeling a bit weird after we saw that man. So instead of sleeping in separate rooms as we planned, we all decided to fall asleep in the living room. The three of us ended up falling asleep for a while before I was woken up by a sudden flash of light coming through the window. I looked toward it from the couch and I could tell that it was the motion sensor light in the driveway, and it might have just turned on, so I got up to see what it was, thinking it might have been a dog or something. But I was wrong, and the scream that I let out woke up both my parents. They looked at me and then toward the window where they saw the same man from before, just standing at the end of the driveway, staring toward the house. My mom got out her phone to call the owner of the Airbnb as my dad ran to the front door and began screaming at the man. As soon as he saw my dad, he took off running. And when my mom got off the phone with the person we were renting the house from, we all decided to find different sleeping arrangements because according to the owner, that was just the neighbor. She said he's always been obsessed with the house and stopped by multiple times a day and night just to look at it for some reason. That didn't sit right with us, and we ended up just staying at a motel until our place was finished being fumigated.
This story happened just last month. My wife and I were planning to take a little vacation just for the weekend. We found an Airbnb up in a really nice area with a lot of great land. The place was way up north, about 4 hours away. It was a house, sort of like a cabin, and was up on a hill with a really nice deck overlooking the massive amount of land nearby. The area was mostly woods, hills, and just land. We also really liked it because of how secluded it was from the rest of the houses. There weren't really any other buildings or houses in sight. In fact, most areas over there were just vacation homes or cabins. We drove up there early Friday morning and arrived at the property at about 10 a.m. When we got there, we had a great time just relaxing and enjoying the area. It didn't take long, though, before our trip took a turn for the worst. That night, as we were just sitting in the living room of the house watching a movie, all of a sudden we heard a knocking sound. Couldn't tell where it was coming from at first, but after pausing the movie and getting up, I could tell it was coming from one of the windows. I walked down a hallway to where the noise was coming from. As I got closer, I was able to locate the window, and then the knocking stopped. I reached the window where it was coming from, but I didn't see anything when I looked outside of it. However, I didn't have a good feeling about it, because the house was so secluded, and most parts of it were surrounded by trees and bushes. I knew anybody being around here at all would be suspicious. As I walked back to the living room, my wife asked me if I saw what was causing the knocking. Just as I was telling her about it, we then heard a loud pounding coming from the front door. It sounded as though somebody was trying to break the entire door down. I walked back over to the kitchen area to try and look out the window and see, but once again, When I got at an angle to actually see who was at the front door, the noises had stopped, and whoever was there was now gone. After this, we didn't hear any more noises for a while. I thought maybe whoever it was had now left. But about 30 minutes later, we heard the sound outside, just barely, of a man yelling. I couldn't tell what he was saying. In fact, I'm not sure if he was saying anything at all. We knew somebody was trying to mess with us, or get inside the house for some reason. We would hear noises or bangs against the house, but whenever we looked out the window, whoever was there somehow disappeared. This happened a couple of more times, and my wife and I were getting concerned. We didn't really feel comfortable going to bed with all this going on. It was getting late though, and I decided if we were in fact going to sleep there, I would go outside and take a look around. I went out the front door and took a walk all around the house, but saw nothing strange and didn't hear anything either. I hope that meant whoever was there was now gone, and I went back inside. We decided we would go to bed, but if anything else happened at all, we would call the police immediately. Once we had both got to bed and turned out all the lights, almost right away, there was a sudden sound of glass breaking coming from the opposite end of the house. My wife grabbed her phone and started calling the police. I shut the door and locked it, and then started packing up all of our stuff. There was no chance I was going to continue to stay here with all of this going on. We didn't really hear any noises though as we waited for the police to arrive. It took them a while to reach the house with it being way out there, probably like 20 minutes. Thankfully, nobody tried to enter the bedroom we were in during that time. When the police arrived, my wife and I left the room with our bags packed. The police showed us a window in the living room of the house which had been broken, and there was some glass on the ground around it, but after searching the house, they didn't find anybody inside. I didn't feel safe though. After the police left, my wife and I did the same, and we checked into a hotel. A couple of years ago, I traveled to a city for a prospective job. I had a potential job offer, and was going to stay a total of 2 days to look at the area in case I were to move there. I didn't really spend a whole lot of time looking for where to stay. I kinda just went onto the Airbnb app, found a place that looked good, and then went for it. I do remember though that the owner seemed like a really nice guy. When I arrived, the place itself was decent. It was a little place right by the city. I got the keys and got inside to drop off my stuff. After that, I went out for a few hours and then returned that night. I went to bed that night pretty early. I've always been kind of an early bird and I'm used to it. However, I woke up in seemingly the middle of the night, which is unusual. When I woke up, I looked around confused after seeing it was still dark outside, and clearly nighttime. I looked at the clock to see that it was 2:30 a.m., and I remember, just as I was looking at the clock, I heard the sound of the front door to the house being opened. The house had been completely silent, and hearing that was a scary moment. I knew nobody else was supposed to be in the house. I'm not really sure what I was thinking. Maybe it was because I had just woken up and wasn't thinking clearly, but I grabbed the blankets and covered myself with them like a little kid. I then heard footsteps starting to come closer to the bedroom that I was in. My heart started to race like crazy, and I was terrified. I sort of came to my senses and knew that hiding under the covers was a bad idea, but what could I do? I had no time to prepare for this. As the footsteps got closer, it was clear to me that they would likely come in the bedroom. The only thing I thought to do was pretend to still be asleep. Maybe, just maybe, if somebody was going to rob the house or something like that, if they saw that I was fast asleep, they would just ignore me. I also felt this was my only option, because I had no time to run to the closet and hide, or grab something to use as a weapon. I didn't even have time to dial 911, as my phone was charging on the desk, not within my reach. Once whoever was there reached the door, I heard it open, and I closed my eyes and pretended to be sound asleep. I heard whoever was there take 2 steps inside the room or so, and then they just stopped. I didn't hear any more noises or movement for about a whole minute. Very carefully, I opened my eyes just a crack. I was careful to make it look like they were still closed, but I wanted to see whoever was in there. As soon as my eyes cracked open, I saw somebody standing right in front of the doorway, facing me. I looked at them for a couple of seconds, then I recognized them. It was the man who owned the Airbnb. I remembered him from his picture. He was just standing there staring at me, with no expression on his face. I was careful to close my eyes without making it look like they had ever been open. I was terrified and also very confused as to what he was doing here. He stayed there for probably 5 more minutes and didn't move. It felt like forever, and I was just waiting for him to do something. Finally, I heard him turn around and then walk away. I laid in bed, listening carefully to wherever the man moved throughout the house. He went straight for the door and then just left. After that, I stayed up for about 2 more hours before I could get back to sleep. Luckily, the guy never returned. The next day, I contacted the owner of the Airbnb and asked him what he was doing in the house during the night. He denied being there completely. I reported him after that and did not return back. That was the last time I used Airbnb.